There's been big news in casinos as well today, and that is that James Packer's controlled Crown Resorts has decided to can its Las Vegas casino. It was said to have been built for some $2 billion. It was 35 acres of land in the middle of Las Vegas. It's prime land, there's no doubt. Probably has gone up in price. But this comes at the same time that's likely to sell some $1.6 billion worth of shares in the Crown Melco business, which is the Macau casino business. Now, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens because Lawrence Ho, his partner in that business, will ultimately buy these shares, give Packer the cash. And now what you'll see is parts of the Crown Resorts business will still be split up, the hotels in particular going into a separate entity. Let's now go to the Asia correspondent for the Financial Times, been watching this casino business very closely. We've spoken to him about it before. Peter Wells is online from Hong Kong. Many thanks for your time, Peter.
No problem, Ross.
Just explain to me in regards to this. I mean, Packer's quite clearly got his 18 people who have been detained in Shanghai by Chinese officials. At the same time, he's selling out of Macau to Lawrence Ho. It almost seems to be a coincidental piece of timing here, or is this something a little bit more curious that we can read into it?
Well, I'm not sure. We might have to just wait till it all comes out in the wash, really. But, I'm sure there probably are a few people around the market who had wondered whether or not this was part of a deal. But you certainly have seen that for a lot of people who were sort of operating in Macau with that crackdown that China has had on corruption in the past 2 years, going after the big VIP money has become much harder than it used to be. And they're certainly sort of tightening down there. So, I don't know, maybe from a risk point of view, perhaps, the Crown Board have just looked at that as saying, It's almost not worth the trouble at the moment, and perhaps that's part of their decision to sell out of the stake.
So here's a curious thing, because Lawrence Ho quite clearly has a different view to either the Crown Board and or James Packer as the controlling influence. I mean, in regards to where Macau goes to into the future, because yes, the Chinese government has certainly cracked down on the number of visas it will issue. It's cracked down on people being able to take money out of banks in Macau to be able to from Chinese bank accounts to be able to gamble and so forth. So there has been a genuine crackdown, but it's a very long-term game that I would have thought.
Yeah, well, I think this is sort of, going to, as you were saying there, whether there is actually something to it. I mean, when we spoke on Friday, I was sort of, making the point that for a lot of other Hong Kong-listed casino stocks, they've actually done quite well this year. There have been signs of a stabilisation in revenues there. And I think people have started, a lot of analysts up here have started to turn a little bit more positive on the sector. So, I mean, there might be sort of some argument to say that, Crown and Packer are leaving the asset at a point when things might potentially have been looking up, and as you said, Lawrence Ho, he's still in there, probably more than happy to take the stake off Crown's hands like that. Potentially there is maybe sort of something else out there that's perhaps sort of influencing their decision to get out of that. But I mean, by the same token, they're also backing out of Las Vegas as well. So maybe the whole idea is that there's always been that sort of complaint that the domestic assets were sort of undervalued. So maybe this is part of that play to just try and put greater focus and greater value around them.
The one thing that I sort of question, I'm not quite certain how this fits, because given the fact that the Sydney casino that's going to be developed, $2 billion give or take, the Barangaroo site, that is going to solely rely on high roller gamblers, because there is no grind market there. There's no slot machines, because they're going to be at the opposition, the Stars casino. So if they can't get gamblers out of China, and given the fact that the best part of 95% of all high roller gamblers right now around the world are Chinese gamblers, where do you get the volume of gambling through your casino to justify the expenditure of $2 billion in a brand new resort?
Well, Ross, I don't know that I've got a good answer to that. I think that's, that is a big problem. I'm not sure exactly how the laws sort of work in the sense whether or not you can, in terms of the marketing within the mainland, whether or not, and I'm not by in any way sort of insinuating that this is what sort of goes on, but if there are other agents who potentially market maybe like as two international casinos, but are not actually employees of Crown, whether it's still, by word of mouth, it's still getting out.
Because that's what I was going to ask you. What are you hearing in regards to high rollers trying to get out to gamble in other parts of the world from China right now? Because you'd have to think that they if they've got some relative freedom of movement, could go to Taiwan, they could go to Malaysia, they could then catch a jet to anywhere in the world that they choose to. There must be still a market there somewhere, so long as the individuals can get themselves out of mainland China.
Well, there had been actually a bit of a feeling that because of the whole sort of corruption crackdown that had been going on, even though there has been this sort of, you know, drop in gaming revenues in Macau, a lot of people, you know, for the reason, for example, they don't want to be seen going to a Crown casino, potentially like in Melbourne or anywhere else in Australia, you know, or in the case of those who'd been going to Korea, would find it a lot easier to just go to Macau. And that was sort of one of the reasons why people were potentially turning more positive on Macau, in the sense that the options for high rollers in China to consider going elsewhere was just looking a little bit dicey, a little bit dangerous. So they thought, may as well stay close at home, don't have to fly as far, and you know, just keep it local.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a really fascinating game. There's no doubt about that. And of course, high stakes while you've got employees who are currently incarcerated by the Chinese government. Peter Wells, the Asian correspondent for the Financial Times, watching this sector, and it is so complicated, I've got to tell you, trying to work out exactly how the business is coming through the door. And Peter, as always, we appreciate your time here on the program.
Thanks, Ross.